Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Imagine MKE 2Q network video. We are doing this to make sure that all of you are up to date on all of the incredible activities we have been working on over the second quarter, which are the months from September to December. And we are also on this call going to be giving everybody an update or a preview of all of the things we have cooking for the third quarter, which for us is January, February, and March. So thank you so much for joining us, and let's get started. So just a quick review on all of the basics, our mission, vision, and values. Bottom line, we believe in the power of the arts to transform Milwaukee, and we are working to harness the collective voice and power of the sector to be a key partner for key priority issues of our city. And in this sense, you can really think of us as the amplifier, connector, convener of the arts in Milwaukee. As you all can probably tell, these goals of creating a 21st century thriving Milwaukee through the arts, it's a really lofty goal, and that's going to require all organizations and stakeholders across sector to work together in an aligned in a powerfully aligned way. And I think that's also why in our values, we have these values of collective impact and being really results-based. And part of us doing these quarterly reports is a practice of our transparency of our results, because we are in the end accountable to all of you. So I think many of you who are watching this probably or hearing this or already know this, but the need for us to be working together towards this goal is pretty incredible, right? Because as many of you know, cities across the nation have been engaged in this arts forward planning strategy to help improve the city. Many of our city's fastest growing cities have really thriving arts councils or arts planning groups to help integrate the arts into creating how a city looks, feels, and how people experience it. And up until the creation of Imagine MKE, Milwaukee was the largest American city without such an office. And I think the results have been pretty clear, right? I mean, we remain, unfortunately, a net loss city with population continuing to decline. And yet, despite our large arts organizations generating over $120 million worth of economic activity, our city and county, through the Milwaukee Arts Board and CAMPAC, only invests about $600,000 in our arts organizations. That is 0.5%. the public funding into the arts. And obviously, as you all, I think you've seen, if you come to our website, Wisconsin ranks 48th in the nation for public funding in the arts. I think this is really important, right? Because the arts really articulate a city's unique value proposition to newcomers, to residents, and it can really help to be a cost-effective intervention to address city issues. And that's why we are excited to be here doing this work with all of you, because we have also an incredible opportunity. despite the challenges that I outlined in the last slide, we also have incredible opportunities here because we have an incredible arts and culture sector. Not only are we home to the largest United Performing Arts Fund in the nation, we are also home to a lot of super well-respected presenting performing arts institutions downtown, from the Milwaukee Rep to the Ballet to the Symphony to obviously our incredible museum. We're home to the world's largest music festival and we also have growing institutions in local radio and in film with Radio Milwaukee and Milwaukee Film. And so if you think of Imagine MKE really as a sector-wide play to really turn up the volume on all of the incredible stuff that's happening in our city, that's really what we're here to do, right? We're working with you to increase the arts and culture sector's overall impact in the city. Now, we didn't create this all by ourselves, right? Like, we this has been the result of about 2 years of planning with many of you and over 150 Milwaukee arts and culture organizations that have met over that period of time to organize what the sector itself wants to move ahead, what the agenda is, and what our key priority issues should be. And this shared agenda really drives the core of our work and our goals. And if your organization is not on there, this also, I should say, is not a, an exhaustive list of logos. It was just the ones that we had in our file. But if your organization is not on there, please send us your logo. We'd love to include it. So this shared agenda includes desired results in four main areas, and I'm going to go over them in these next two slides right now. But I just wanted to note that while each work group has a desired result, and we're tracking these desired results over every fiscal year, the way we're making progress towards these desired results are through these things that we are calling action commitments. So we hold these quarterly work group meetings, and at every work group meeting, we've begun to introduce this action commitments form, which for the folks who are participating in the work groups, we queue up an important conversation for them, and they make action commitments to help move the work forward toward the desired result. And so you're going to hear me talking a lot or reporting back a lot about the percentage of completion rate and where we are from our last quarter's action commitments. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a primer on that. Anyways, so our four work groups are in neighborhood partnerships, and the key desired result there is to grow the vibrancy of art in our city's diverse neighborhoods, right? Such that this really beautiful Milwaukee Renaissance that we're in the middle of right now is not solely felt downtown in the neighborhoods around downtown, but truly that it's felt across all of our neighborhoods, and that we're also lifting up all of the artistic talent and artistic assets and creative assets in every single one of our zip codes. The second work group is in public policy, and the goal there is to advocate for improved public policies for the arts, increased public funding, and integrated creative placemaking strategies. Our third work group is in marketing and PR, and the goal there, the desired result there, is to increase the public awareness of excellence across our city's arts and culture ecosystem, and it really changed the narrative of how our city is viewed, not only internally but also externally, from folks thinking about visiting or moving here. And then the fourth work group is support for artists, and our goal there is to improve access to markets and systems of support for working artists, because we can't be America's next great arts city if we don't have America's next great rising talent of artists, or if they all move somewhere else because they don't feel like they're being supported in their home. So diving in a little bit on all of the stuff that we've done in the second quarter in each of these work groups, I guess the headline for neighborhood partnerships really is about authentic engagement. We have our staff member, Antoine Carter, is currently outposted. He offices out of the Black Historical Society, where he's been working with residents in the 53206 zip code to understand residents' needs, as it were, as it's related to arts, to the arts and culture sector, and what they want to bring to the community, and more importantly, what they want to do in the community to uplift and take control of their arts and culture destiny. So some of the things we've done in the second quarter, some of the highlights are that we hosted a gallery day and night in Amani and Metcalf Park. In that engagement, we activated the Center Street Library, the Black Historical Society, and the Brick Building with artists during the daytime and in the evening. And I think what was really cool about this is that this was a resident-led initiative, right? They said, we want a gallery night in our neighborhood, and there was nobody doing a gallery night in their neighborhood. And so we, with Anton's leadership, stepped into the breach to program a gallery night during Gallery Night Milwaukee, right? So having a gallery night in a zip code that's not historically thought of as a place where gallery night happens was just incredibly inspiring to me. Over 100 people attended, and participating artists, about 24 artists together, sold about $1,500 worth of art. New painter Lakeisha Reed and her young son actually both sold their first pieces of art, which I think is just such a heartwarming story. In addition, Anton worked with community advocates, Safe and Sound, and young adults from the Imani neighborhood to host a screening of Us, the movie Us by Jordan Peele, for about 25 youth in Moody Park. And I think what's really cool about this one is that instead of Imagine coming in, or Anton, or our team coming in to set up this screening, he really engaged the youth in that neighborhood to put it together and organize it and pull it off, right? And that has begun to build some capacity in that group of kids, such that when we held our gallery night in January a couple of weeks ago, it was that group of kids that came together to organize and run the gallery night. And so I think in some ways we're sort of thinking about how these kinds of engagements broaden how young people think about the arts and how they engage with the arts, and potentially thinking about like how they might want to grow into an arts career in the future that might not be maybe in front of camera or might be just below the line. So that's really exciting. And then finally, the third highlight that we wanted to talk about was that he brought together Metcalf Park, Community Bridges, and Sculpture Milwaukee to help residents imagine the possibilities of what could be brought to their neighborhood, so that the residents in Metcalf Park and Downtown Arts Partners can really authentically co-create arts and culture projects that really reflect the neighborhood. It's not a downtown arts organization coming in to do a thing. So that's really exciting. I think the progress that Anton has made in the neighborhood partnerships work is really underscored in this next stat I'm going to give, which is that in the September work group meeting, there were the action commitment completion rate was about 17% completed. And there left about 33% in progress, and 50% of all of the action commitments were not completed. In the December work group meeting, 39 action commitments were made, and already 16% have been completed, for a 41% completion rate so far. So really folks are engaged and really fired up. And just one last point about that December work group meeting. It was such an incredible room to be in, because there were like 20, 25 people in that room, and it was just incredibly diverse. And not only were the sort of the stakeholders that we've seen over the last few years in this work group, but also a whole other group of people attended that meeting who were from the neighborhood, from Metcalf Park Community Bridges. And the share of voice and the share of power in that room was equally distributed. And it was just really, really inspiring. So in the next work group, which is public policy, we were proud to co-host Activating Civic Engagement Through the Arts as part of the On the Table day in October. Over 50 people attended to discuss the power of art and culture to drive change. And the folks who came really highlighted the need for a blueprint for the arts in Milwaukee. And so we advanced this to our work group meeting in December. And action commitments were made to help us inventory policy barriers, towards making our city a thriving and vibrant arts city. And what's really important is that ideally this blueprint for the arts will really align with our region's blueprint for growth, right? Because like I mentioned earlier, our city has been a net loss city for the last however many years, and we really want to be a key partner in figuring out how we turn that tide around. We believe that the arts creates, or the arts and culture sector writ large has a unique position in driving that forward. And, you know, I think the important point on the public policy piece that we've been talking a lot about is that arts and culture reaches voters in every zip code. Now, what you see on this map is a burgeoning partnership that we have with the Southern Methodist University Data Arts Program, where they've helped us to identify and map out the arts vibrancy in all of Milwaukee County's zip codes. So we could, we will, once we release this, is a little bit of a preview. I should back up. I should say that the Arts Vibrancy Index measures a community's art providers, art dollars, government support, socioeconomic factors, and other leisure, and it all comes together to create a vibrancy index number. And then on this map, it also shows how many arts and culture providers are in each zip code. So this is a little bit of a preview, but once we get to releasing this in the coming weeks, and this is actually a quarter three preview, we'll be able to articulate art deserts in our city and county, which I think will be incredibly important as we think about, as a sector, how we grow programming or grow organizations to ensure that we have equal access or equitable access throughout our county. That's incredibly important. Anyways, going back to this idea that arts and culture sector reaches voters in every zip code, imagine if we could catalyze that support, that public support, to create ever more sustainable funding streams, to create more support for broader policy issues that really are barriers to making Milwaukee a thriving city. And this really goes into that point about the blueprint, right? Like, the example I always give is that with the DNC coming to town, if they want the downtown core in the city to come alive, and they want buskers on every corner, you know, people playing music and making the downtown city center feel just rich with activity and joy and everything else. We also have really oppressive anti-busking laws. So, you know, some of the feedback I've heard is that, well, you know, the police will just not enforce those regressive busking laws. And my response is, well, why don't we just change them? Why are we doing this thing just for this event that's coming to town, when the residents, like you and me, when we go see a show at the Rep and we leave at, you know, 10 o'clock, wouldn't it be great to see the city see buskers on the street? Makes it feel like, you know, the city's safe, it's alive, there's things happening, and suddenly maybe you want to go to Moe's Irish Pub for an after theater drink, right? So I think there's some of these like easy win regulatory blueprint changes that we can make, and I think that's actually something that we're really interested in working on in the third quarter and into the fourth. So just a quick update on our action commitments. In the September work group meeting, 10 action commitments were made, 8 were completed, and 2 were abandoned. So we actually, the public policy group actually led the field with an 80% completion rate, which is really, really exciting. In our December action commitments tally, there were 15 made and 1 was completed so far. About half are in progress, but there are much longer term action commitments, like identifying policy barriers and hosting candidate forums and that sort of thing. So hopefully in the coming weeks, these action commitments will start to come online. Marketing and PR, which is some of the most exciting work that's happening coming out of Imagine KE. Our staff member on that work group is Lindsay Sheridan, and she has the unenviable job of a dual role of not only doing the marketing and PR for our organization, but also working with the marketing and PR work group to help shift the narrative for the arts and culture sector writ large, right? So just a couple highlights on what happened over the second quarter with the marketing PR work group. We had an installation at Fall X, which invited attendees to imagine the future of Milwaukee by helping us build an interactive word cloud. It was sort of like this really fun intersection of tech and art and community involvement. The three words that appeared the most across all answers were inclusive, collaborative, and connected, which as if you'll remember from our earlier slide on our values and our mission, that really feels like it's really cuts to the core of what we're about. We also launched a new website in the second quarter to keep stakeholders up to date on our progress, highlight Milwaukee-based artists and arts organizations, and help people advocate for the arts, our arts champions. And as a highlight of our marketing and PR work group meeting in December, we held a branding exercise to help build a shared narrative of Milwaukee's unique arts and culture community. You know, I think this is at the core of the challenge, right? Is that if you listen to a lot of the folks who are talking about the opportunity with the DNC coming to town, is that you'll hear a lot of people say that our city has no identity. And I think we all know that that's not true. But the things that people think about, they think about our city being really deeply rooted in industry, manufacturing, and obviously beer, cheese, and brats. And yes, that's all true, but it's also really deeply rooted in creativity. And I made a note about this in a podcast episode that we recently taped, but that I think it's important to remember that our city's forefathers, who came to build the beer industry and the manufacturing excellence that we are known for, also wanted to recreate an Eastern European arts mecca here in Milwaukee. And that's why we have the public museum that charts all the way back to the late 1800s, right? That's been in continual existence. And also, by the way, reaches the most diverse group of audience members than anywhere else, than any other arts and culture organization in our city. Every time I go there, I'm reminded that this place looks and feels like our city, and that's really, really incredible. It's why the Pfister Hotel, when it was built, began collecting all this incredible Victorian art, and that's why it also has today the most Victorian art in its collection of Victorian art is greater than any other hotel in America. It's why we have such incredible architecture, right? It's because our city's forefathers knew the importance of the arts and how it really connected to the vibrancy of a city. And the role of our marketing PR group is to help shift that narrative, right? From the thing that we all think of to the fact that our city will become the nation's next great arts and culture city. And to help move that forward, we are we're about halfway through in this Milwaukee Arts Forward 2020 video campaign, which you see some of the artists that we're profiling in that campaign. That's Brandon Minga, Ken Brown in the middle, and Shelly Berry on the other side. And they're just three artists among the 10 artists and arts administrators that we will be profiling in this campaign. A video will be coming out hopefully in the next few weeks. So please be on the lookout for that in the third quarter. We are very, very excited about that. Just an action commitment update on the marketing and PR side in the September work group. 14 action commitments were made, 14% were completed, 7 are in progress, and 79% were not completed. From our December work group meeting, 14 action commitments were made. That's very consistent. Hopefully the completion percentage changes a little bit more towards the completed side than the not completed side, but we are very excited to see how that work moves forward. And finally, the fourth work group is support for artists. I think, you know, when I get to the action commitments, we brought on our staff member, Kenita Hickman, to lead this work group at the beginning with, I think it was sort of a month into the second quarter. So she really had to hit the ground running. And as a result, to get on board and everything else, right? So as a result, the action commitments in September, from our work group meeting in September, 6 were made, but 0 were completed, which is a shame. However, from our December work group, 12 action commitments were made and 17% already committed. So they're already completed. So they are well on their way to turning that ship around, which is very, very exciting. Just a couple highlights from the second quarter. As in addition to hiring Kenita and getting her onboarded, the work group also partnered with No Studios for Imagine the Show, a gallery show that coincided with our launch party, and No Studios Social Justice Summit. The summit featured over 25 artists and works inspired by the intersection of art and social justice, which is very, very exciting. I think 3 or 4 pieces sold. There was a silent auction with all the proceeds going to the artist. We retained none of the fees. I think 3 or 4 pieces sold, which was really great. We also began piloting some curation services for to provide access for Milwaukee-based artists to get into new markets and new venues for them to show their work and potentially sell their work. Which I think is a part of, which I know is part of our support for artists agenda. And I think is very exciting that we're beginning to carve out new ways of exposing our city's great artists. And then at the December work group meeting, the group developed some content ideas for buyers and artist toolkits to empower Milwaukeeans to more fully engage in gallery nights. I think some of the feedback we've gotten about gallery nights have been that they become more social events and less market-based events. This feels like the sort of normal transition of markets as they mature, right? I remember in my previous life in food, there was a lot of frustration about farmers markets having transitioned from a place where you'd actually go to buy food and into a place where you'd go to walk your dog and meet your friends on a Saturday, right? So we're hoping that by developing some toolkits for artists to show up better and be better prepared to sell, like pricing their work, having business cards and all that sort of stuff, we're also beginning to create some attendee toolkits so they can understand that, you know, you can start a payment plan with an artist on a piece that you might like. The tag price might not be the final price, right? So you can have a little back and forth on how you actually purchase art, which is very exciting. They also made some progress toward planning an artist entrepreneur skills building event in the spring, which is coming upon us quickly. And relatedly, the slide you see, the pictures you're seeing right now are from the artist marketplace that we are developing with Book Live. One of the coming out of the agenda making process, one of the key opportunities that this work group identified was a need to figure out how to connect artists to paying gigs. There's really no existing marketplace to connect a business or an individual looking to hire an artist for an event, whether it's HR training, corporate activation, or maybe even somebody looking to hire a spoken word artist for a party in their home. And so we were tasked to develop a database to make these market connections. And we kept saying no, because, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was create and manage a database that we weren't well suited to manage, take care of, and ensure a useful experience. And so thankfully we met Jared Judge from Book Live, and we had asked him, as you may know, Book Live is a artist marketplace for musicians, connecting people wanting to book musicians with the musicians themselves. The software sort of handles all of the matchmaking and the contracting. And we asked him whether or not he would be able to expand the database access or the service to artists of all stripes, not just musicians. And he said it was, yeah, it was in his development pipeline, but it's probably a few years away. We asked whether or not we could accelerate it. He said yes. He said, it's Miller time. Let's get this done, right? So we are very excited that we will be releasing or testing the full-fledged artist marketplace for all artists in coming weeks before rolling it out much more widely to artists, no matter if you're a rope performer or you're a plein air painter or you're whatever you do, you'll be able to get a profile uploaded to Book Live. You'll be able to upload examples of your work, your artistic CV, and then it becomes your booking system, which we're very, very excited about. So just a quick word about collective impact and about how all of this stuff works together. So, you know, we have four work groups, and I would say that if we had that any one of these work groups by themselves would have been a key advance for the sector, right? If we had a neighborhood partnerships organization solely focused on creating authentic relationships between community residents and arts organizations, that would be an incredible leap forward for our sector. If we had a working public policy arm with somebody doing lobbying and advocacy and public policy development for the arts sector, that'd be an incredible leap forward. Similarly, if we had a marketing and PR organization that was just doing marketing for the sector, that would be an incredible leap forward for us. And if we had a group supporting artists in very practical, real ways of all stripes, that would be an incredible leap for us. But the reason why we went from zero staff to six is because we recognize that by working together in a collective way and with all of you in a collective impact model way, progress in each work group maximizes and amplifies each other, right? So just a quick example. Our neighborhood partnerships work, right? So these neighborhood partnerships make our engagements with not only residents, but with many of you much more authentic. We get to be embedded in the neighborhood, and we then create great connections across the sector, right? At the same time, by creating this gallery night, right, that advances the support for artists' work as it relates to opening up markets for new artists and highlighting artists in that neighborhood, in a venue in that neighborhood. Similarly, that advances the marketing and PR work because we're generating incredibly inspiring stories about artists who are living in one of the most challenged zip codes in our city and potentially even in the nation, about how these artists are really coming together to despite the challenges, continue to tell an optimistic story about their work and about what they see for the future. And similarly, the neighborhood partnerships work, then we're also hearing about some of the issues as it relates to gun violence and lead, the lead issue in the neighborhood, which allows us on the public policy side to embed that and to build horizontal partnerships with other social service organizations and community development organizations, where we actually are able to bring our public policy expertise to show up for them as the arts community. And I think this is what's really exciting, because this begins to build a virtuous cycle of our process to generate progress towards that vibrant and thriving 21st century city through the arts. So just a few more slides before we wrap up the webinar. As many of you know, we've been working to coordinate an inspiring DNC arts activation. The current campaign is called MKE Arts Forward, or DNC MKE Arts. We had over the second quarter and part of the first quarter of last year convene arts and culture leaders across the city to begin thinking about what an arts and culture activation could look like. This culminated, or not culminated, but the big meeting was on Halloween at the St. Kate's, where nearly 60 arts and culture leaders from all types of organizations, big, small, in the middle, from all over the city, came together to identify a target for this activation, a rationale and some goals, and a theme for what this activation would look like. So the theme for, we also did a podcast on this, which is actually dropping today. The theme for this arts and culture activation is forward, right? It resonates with our state motto, and it really is, I think, central to how we view the arts as a driver for moving our city forward. And the inspiring target is that by the end of 2020, 1 million people, that's 1 million people, will have a positive impression of Milwaukee through their engagement with the arts and culture sector. The goals are pretty straightforward, right? That we want to make sure that this is inclusive of all of our city's neighborhoods and zip codes. So we want to make sure that all zip codes are activated. We want to make sure that all artists who are participating are paid and elevated, largely through that Book Live opportunity or that new Book Live partnership that I just spoke about. The third goal is that we're driving an arts forward narrative about our city. When, you know, there are 19,000 credentialed press in town, we want to tell everybody who's listening that our city, despite its challenges, which are real and present, that we have a committed group of artists, civic leaders, business leaders, and arts organizations really coming together to write an optimistic future for our city. And then in downtown, we want to make sure that there's art on every block or something happening on every block, again, to help bring make that city come alive. If you want to learn more about that, please reach out. We are still continuing to grow the coalition, the campaign, and what it's going to look like. And we recognize that the time continues to tick away, and we need everybody's help to make it happen. And I just want to read the rationale or the positioning statement for this arts and culture activation for DNC MKE Arts, which was developed by that group. And special thanks to Sean Spartz and Woodland Pattern, who really helped to sort of distill all of the feedback into the statement. Art has the power to activate change, engage communities, and evoke emotions in all people from all walks of life. By using the DNC as a national platform to amplify Milwaukee's creativity and innovation, we will connect and elevate our culturally diverse neighborhoods through the arts. What was once known as the nation's most segregated city will now be known as the nation's most up-and-coming arts mecca. As we portray Milwaukee in a new light, people from around the world will want to experience our city firsthand. DNC visitors will want to return to see more, and locals will discover things about their city that they didn't know existed. These initiatives will also serve to unite our city on a human level in ways that will empower residents after the DNC is ended. By promoting collaboration across the invisible divides the city's differentiating zip codes create, we can encourage the removal of past barriers and ignite an accessible arts sector for local artists and visiting creators to appreciate and thrive in for years to come. Gives me chills every time I read it. It's really, I'm so excited that we are working with many of you to make this happen. And I just can't wait to move it forward. So just a couple of final slides before we wrap up. Recognize that you all are very, very busy, and maybe you can't come to our quarterly work group meetings, but we want to make sure that you stay engaged. We've been hearing a lot from you about how we can provide information to you in different ways outside of a long email. So this is why we're doing these quarterly reports. It's why we are unveiling this podcast series that's coming out. But we're also trying to find other ways to get information to you in a way that is just in time for you, so that when you show up at whatever point you engage with us, whether it's at a work group meeting, whether you see us at an event, you're able to contribute to the work and help move it forward. So on our website, obviously there are the quarterly reports in infographic form and also in this form, a video. We'll have our calls also recorded. You will be able to find our strategy briefs online. Through email, you'll get our monthly updates. If you sign up, you'll get action commitment invitations, and obviously action alerts when they come through. And then on social, we will have celebrations of our network and folks like you who helped contribute in moving this work forward, and potentially even live updates from our meetings, whether that's live tweeting or Insta stories. So we're very excited about rolling that out. Just one quick note about the celebrations of our network. You might have seen in our, if you read our, if you saw our newsletter, or if you read the big quarterly report. This last quarter was our first Imagine MVP announcement, and I just want to give a big shout out to Christine Fleming at the Hegarty Museum of Art, who was our first ever inaugural Imagine MVP. She's just been incredible in helping us map the currently planned and potential activations for the DNC Arts Activation throughout our city. She's attended both work group meetings and made some really incredible contributions in those meetings. She's built a map and has really helped us think through calendaring and curation. I mean, she has just been an incredible asset in our network, and definitely at the top of the power rankings this last quarter. So if you want to dethrone her, start coming through on those action commitments. And then finally, we'll be doing onboarding for anybody new who wants to join a work group. Even if you've been to work groups, these quarterly onboardings I think are really, really helpful in getting you up to speed and how the collective impact process is going to happen, how the work group process is going to happen, and these action commitments. Like I said, we're going to be putting out these podcasts and then doing these quarterly calls. So we are developing new products to ensure that you all have the information just at the you can get the information you need at the right time and the way that you want it, so that you can contribute and help move this work forward. So with that, that's all I got for our second quarter report. We are obviously halfway through the third quarter, and as you can see, we have a lot of fun stuff coming. Please stay engaged with us. Please continue to imagine with us at Imagine MKE on Facebook and LinkedIn. We are at imagine_MKE at Insta and Twitter, and obviously our website at imaginemke.org. You can always hit us up at info@imaginemke.org, and don't hesitate to reach out to me or any of our staff if you have any questions. And with that, I hope you have a lovely rest of your second quarter, and I'm sorry, rest of your third quarter, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.